Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that maybe you would like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me by email directly. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Again, you can contact me directly by email at preacher@eastalbertville.org. And East Albertville is one word. When it comes to sin, all sins, they're basically of two kinds. One is the sin of commission, that is, doing things that God has forbidden. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, we know that sin is the transgression of the law, for that's what sin is. And in 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgress and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But then also, there is the sin of omission, that is, failing to do the things that God has commanded. In James 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, I think by and large, most people are very conscientious about not committing the sins of commission, that is, doing things that God has forbidden. Good husbands, they want to be good wives, they don't want to be abusive, they don't want to desert their mates. They want to be good parents. They want to be good providers. They don't want to be abusive. They, again, don't want to abandon their families. They don't commit adultery. They don't commit fornication. They don't drink. They don't do drugs. They pay their debts. They don't steal. They're very benevolent, as the expression sometimes is used. They'll give the shirt off of their backs, or they're not stingy or self-centered. It's so sad, though, that most people equate this kind of good behavior with being saved and being a Christian. What I mean is that many people have the idea that all it takes to be saved or to be a Christian is just to have good morals. And even sadder is when we find those that profess themselves to be Christians that associate this type of behavior as being really all that's necessary for a person to have the hope of heaven. So, while we must be concerned about not doing the things that God has forbidden, we must be equally concerned, and I want to put the emphasis there, we need to be equally concerned with doing the things that God has commanded. When we look at the context of James chapter 4 and verse 17, it indicates that the good of which he speaks is the Lord's will. Let's go back and look at James 4. We looked at it in verse 17 a moment ago, but let's back up to verse 13. James 4, verse 13. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do live and do this or that. See, to live without making our life conform to the Lord's will is to sin in both areas. That is, doing what he tells us to do and avoiding the things that he tells us not to do. You know, what the Lord commands of us in his word is good. And every command that he gives obligates us to do it. Remember in Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So see, to omit the stated will of the Lord in our lives brings us into sin just as well. Every Christian is expected to learn the scriptures and to apply the Lord's will to his life. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We read Matthew 7 and verse 21 a minute ago, but let's read another few verses. But again, beginning with verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that hears these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was it the fall of it. Peter made the statement in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 by inspiration, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. See, the Bible warns us against sins of ignorance. It's over in the book of Leviticus in chapter 5, but said in verse 17 that if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he knows it not, yet he is guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred, and knew it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. So we see that the Bible warns against sins of ignorance. And what's true in the Old Testament times is just as true today. We don't atone for the sin in the same way, but still, ignorance is a sin. And it's something that we'll not be able to plead, well, you know, I didn't know, when we come before the judgment seat of Christ. Because in Acts 17, we read in verse 31 that the times of these ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. So ignorance is something that God has never allowed to justify for sin, neither under the law of Moses, nor the law on which you and I live under, and that is the law of Christ. So God has fully revealed his will, and it is certainly available to us in the form of the New Testament. And so we need to remind ourselves of what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or thoroughly equipped unto all good works. So instead of seeking comfort in ignorance, it is to our eternal advantage to understand what the will of the Lord is, that we may do what the will of the Lord states. And that is the passage that we also read over the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and what we read in verse 17. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is when it comes to obeying the gospel. And obeying the gospel is very important because we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 7, that we're to those that would trouble you, let them not trouble you. But he says that it will be in flaming fire that Christ will come, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So it's important that we obey the gospel, because failing to do so, will cause us to be lost in an eternal hell. So we need to hear the gospel. That's how faith comes. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what we see was done in every case of conversion in the book of Acts, whether it was in Acts 2 and verse 37, or whether it was in Acts 8, verses 5 and 6, or whether it was in Acts chapter 16 and verse 32. The gospel was what was preached to begin with. The gospel had to be heard. Then when that gospel was preached, the person that heard it had a choice to make. They could either believe it or not believe it. So they could either have faith in what they had heard or disbelieve. And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then we must obey what we hear. Faith, in order to be acceptable unto God, has to be an obedient faith. So we must repent of our sins. That's what those were commanded in Acts 2, when they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were guilty of crucifying the Christ. They were told to repent. And we find that this is what we read a moment ago, that God, in times of this ignorance, winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We too must confess with our mouth that which we believe in our heart. Jesus said, if you will not confess me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. In Matthew 10, verse 32. Then we must be buried with Christ in baptism, for it was in Christ's death that his blood was shed, and that's how we come in contact with that blood that cleanses us from sin. That's what Jesus commanded when he commanded the disciples in Matthew 28:18, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Both in the account of Matthew in chapter 28, verse 18, and also in the account of Mark in Mark 16, verse 16. But then also, we need to be faithful to what the Lord said. We need to observe all things. Not only did he say in Matthew 28, verse 18, go to therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but he said in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says that our faithfulness needs to be unto death. Until that very day that we die, we need to be faithful unto the Lord. We need to love God. How do we love God? Well, the answer is given. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. How do we love Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus answered that question for us in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So truly, it's not enough for us to just simply concern ourselves with being sure that we do not commit those things that God forbids us to do. It's just as important that we do the things that God commands us to do. We see our time is gone. We thank you so much for listening, and we hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.